Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we receive your presence. We open our hearts, our minds, we open our eyes and our ears to hear, and we receive you. We receive your voice. We receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Keith, this has been an outstanding 2 weeks, man.
Well, the Lord's helped us a lot.
Oh, man, I have learned so much out there.
Praise God.
And I'm just so grateful to you for coming, sharing these things. It just makes me hungry to do more.
Thank you for having
amen.
Me,
amen. Praise
Thank you
God.
So much.
Get us right back in here, please.
Yes, sir. For these 2 weeks, we've been on this subject of hearing from the Lord. And our main text has been John 10. And in John 10, let's read it again in verse 3. The Bible said, Jesus said, He's the good shepherd, and to Him the porter opens, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He puts forth His own sheep, His own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, and for they know His voice. He said it again in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He knows us, and He said, and you know me. And then in verse 27, He said it again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We want to accept Jesus' words. If you're His sheep, you hear His voice, and you know His voice. You recognize His voice. Anything else is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is deception. And there's a whole lot of Christians that are convinced, well, I don't hear from God like these preachers do and like this and the other. And you hear people say, well, God never talks to me like that. And it's not a problem of not hearing that God's not speaking or trying to get God to talk to you. It's a receiving issue.
That's right.
It's a receiving issue. And what we found out from Hebrews on yesterday is He said, if you will hear His voice, if you want to hear His voice, harden not your heart. All the different times it says, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, that phrase is just so many times in the Bible. Well, He's not talking about people that just had physical ears. So what determined who had a hearing ear and who didn't? Well, it's because of the heart. It's the heart, the condition of the heart that determines whether the ear hears Him or doesn't hear Him. And we talked about on yesterday about sensitivity, that when you get willing, Jesus said, if a man wills to do his will, he'll know. He'll find out. It'll get clear to you. What has been so obscure and seemingly you can't find and you can't hear and touch, you'll find out. He's there all the time.
Yeah.
He's right
Amen.
There. And all you got to do is get willing and genuinely willing. And when you are willing to do anything He tells you to do, go anywhere He says to go, help whoever He says help. And I know most every Christian would agree with that statement, but when it comes time, people pray it, oh God, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do, and He says, do this, and they go, oh, not that.
Yeah, I'm not qualified to do that.
Or whatever reason.
Yeah.
But that's what it's all about. And once you hear from Him, that's not the end. You know, you'd like to say, well, praise God, you get willing and you get tenderhearted and here it comes clear. You know exactly what He told you to do. You know it's Him. And you think, well, praise God, we ride off into the sunset now. I mean, that's it. We got it. But Adam and Eve were very clear
That's right.
on what God said.
That's exactly right.
They were crystal. And yet, that didn't prevent them from ignoring it, overriding it, and listening to something else. And you see this again and again. Even though you have heard from the Lord, the enemy's not just going to sit by and not try to hinder you going ahead, finding and fulfilling the plan of God. He is very subtle. He's very tricky. And so he'll come to steal the word that you got. He'll come to remove you from the simplicity that is in the anointed word to you, to complicate matters. And what I've seen from the word is that it's not a matter of being smart enough not to let him do that. Again, it comes back to matters of the heart. There are certain things in your heart that will make you susceptible and vulnerable to being deceived and misled. And if you fix that, it'll make you he will not be able to deceive you. You'll see him coming, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
you'll see him coming at a distance. And
well, Jesus said, you won't follow him.
Exactly.
Well, it's not follow him. You've got to know it is him. But that's what we started out talking about.
Right.
Well, he said, my sheep hear my voice, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow.
They won't follow.
Which meant they heard that stranger's voice, but they were tender-hearted enough to be able to hear the Lord say, no, no, that ain't right. Don't follow that.
That's right. There's a story in 1 Kings 13 that to me is so vivid and detailed about what we're talking about. There was a man of God in 1 Kings 13, the Bible said, that was sent out to Bethel, to Jeroboam, who was there burning incense at the altar, and he cried out against the altar. And there were a lot of sin and problems in the country at that time, and he spoke against them. And he said what was going to happen in judgment concerning that. And the king, verse 4, said, lay hold on him. And when he did, his hand dried up, and the altar was rent, and ashes poured out, supernatural sign from God. And the king asked him to pray for him, and he did, and the king's hand was healed. Amazing thing. I mean, this is something went all over the nation. I mean, this shook the country. Mm. And verse 7, the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that came to Bethel. So he is very clear on what the Lord has told him about this. I mean, to the king, he says, no, the Lord told me specifically, you don't eat anything here, you don't drink anything here, and you go back a different way than you came. So the king couldn't even persuade him. But that goes on to say that there was an old prophet that lived in that area, and he heard about this spectacular sign and wonder that that God had done through this man. And so he sent his sons out after him to find. And he came and found him, verse 14, sitting under a tree. He said, are you that man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. Now, why is it that all of a sudden everybody wants you to come eat with them?
Yeah.
Because the Lord said, don't do it. And you'll find it's supernatural how there are things when the Lord tells you to do this or don't do it all at once. There's all these opportunities and all these pull to do the very thing that he said don't do. And so he says, I may not return with you, verse 16, nor go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. And he recites it, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread, drink nor water, and nor turn by the way that you came. Very clear.
He knew exactly what
exactly.
God said.
Exactly. And he knew it was the Lord.
Yeah, he did.
And he knew what it was. And verse 18, this man said, I'm a prophet like you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord and said, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And this is just a sad reality that there are a number of people that say the Lord said, and he didn't say. They just made stuff up. There are people that lie and say the Lord said. And here's the amazing thing, verse 19. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. He was crystal clear about what the Lord told him, and now he does exactly what the Lord told him not to do. Why would you do that? Verse 20, it came to pass as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back, and he cried to the man of God, and he said, thus says the Lord, for as much as you've obeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but came back and ate eat bread and drunk water in the place the Lord said, that you eat no bread and drink no water. That's like the fourth time we've read that phrase.
Yeah.
Your carcass will not come into the sepulchre of your fathers. And the rest of the story goes that when he left, a lion met him and killed him. And supernaturally, the lion didn't attack the donkey and didn't eat the man. He just stood there. It was a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The donkey was standing there and the dead prophet and the lion all just standing there. And the old prophet made a big deal out of it and came and said, oh, bring him back and bury him. Let's bury us together and all this kind of thing. But he was the one that lied to him and was able to convince him to ignore what he had got from the Lord so clearly that he would stand up before a king and not yield. The enemy's very crafty. He's very subtle. And you can get something from the Lord and be so clear, and yet we live in this world, and we got flesh around us. And through the flesh, and through people, the enemy will try to come and suggest and convince and pull through the flesh. And you have to be strong. Like you were saying that Brother Oral Roberts mentioned, and man, this is obvious throughout his life and ministry. Once you hear from God, consult no longer.
Don't go ask flesh and blood about it.
Don't confer, don't ask, and if they want to tell you, don't listen. Don't allow anybody to influence you to override what God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And my question in thinking about this was, Lord, this is a real man of God. You just used him to shake a kingdom. And even when somebody that had the greatest power in all the land compels him to do this, he wouldn't do it. He stood fast, stood strong. How is it then that the enemy is able to deceive him or convince him through this other prophet? Well, see, he comes talking his language. I'm a prophet too. I've heard from the Lord. I had a visitation. Angel showed me. See, one of the devil's favorite things, he masquerades himself as an angel of light.
Angel of light. He does.
He does. And he will try to convince you this is God leading you to do something different from what you've already heard from God. And the thing the Lord pointed out to me was by contrast what happened with Paul. And without turning there, you remember that the Lord showed Paul, who was Saul at that time, when he got born again, how great things you must suffer my name's sake, and you'll bear my name before kings and Gentiles. Well, it came to pass in process of time, he was doing that. And he was about to go to Jerusalem prior to that. And everywhere he went, people would say, oh man, bondage and affliction's waiting on you. And he said, the Spirit of God said clearly and distinctly this was happening. And so some of them pled with him, don't go, don't go. And he said, what mean ye to weep and break my heart about this?
Yeah.
I'm willing not only to be put in bonds, I'm willing to die. you know, for the gospel, for the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord pointed that out to me. How did they overcome the deceiver and accuser of the brethren? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. If you want something too much, and you want something you shouldn't want, it'll make you vulnerable to the enemy misleading you. Adam and Eve, they knew exactly what God told them about that tree. So how then is the devil able to get them to override that? She's looking at that tree, Eve is, and Adam's right there with her. It looks so amazing. They want it. They want it too much. And it makes them willing to entertain these other ideas. And that's all the enemy needs, is to get you to listen to him and start listening, and he'll just keep on working on you if it takes days or if it takes months, and eventually convince you, the Lord has changed what he told me. Mm-hmm. This man, this prophet, why would he do that? Well, he's a human. He has been used. He's a man of God. He wants to be used of God. That's his desire his whole life. God uses him to shake a nation, to bring a kingdom to its knees. And he gets no acknowledgement. He just has to go back another way home, not even get a banquet. Nothing. Why would he comply with this other man coming along? Part of him wants that. Wants the acknowledgement. Wants somebody to make a big deal out of it. Part of him wants that. And so when he says, oh, an angel appeared to me. Well, he didn't even want to examine that too close. Okay. All right, let's go. If you want something too much, or want something you shouldn't want, it makes you susceptible. It makes you vulnerable. Even after you've heard crystal clear what the Lord said. But like Paul, oh man, he's a hero of faith.
Oh, he is now. I'm telling you.
When he stands up and says, I don't count my life dear to myself. I'm willing to die right now. Okay, we go to Jerusalem. They imprison me. They kill me. Okay, I'm ready for it. I'm willing. Willing, ready. Keeps you clear, crystal clear. And what that and this is the thing I started shouting about. What I saw in the Spirit is when you get to where you don't even hold your own life dear and precious to yourself, you will gladly give it up to accomplish the will of God, the devil immediately loses whatever leverage he had.
Yeah, his threat doesn't mean anything anymore.
It doesn't mean.
It's over when he did that.
And he can't. He loses his leverage to deceive you and to trick you because you have no fear in you about the death. And so you're no longer subject to any of his leverage or his bondage. He'll try to you're not going to get any recognition. And if this man had just said, I don't care. I don't need any recognition. I don't want anything. And if you're dead to it, it's like the devil's got nothing to grab hold of. He's got nothing to work with you on. And it keeps you clear and you just see right through it. And you can say, well, I know what you're saying, but I know what the Lord told me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it.
Stay with it.
Stay with it. Don't let anybody, I don't care if it's, you got to learn to trust God inside you. I don't care if it's a person you respect. I don't care if it's somebody that's given themselves the title of apostle or prophet. Trust what you get inside.
Yes, sir.
Trust it.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah. It's life and death. It's finishing your course or not finishing your course. And you know one thing the devil counts on? Is our love for people, like your kids, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse. If he can't get to you, he'll try to get to you through them, if they'll let him, to convince you. You remember Job's wife? I mean, Job's standing pretty strong. And she, here she comes along, curse God. Of all the things she could say to him,
yeah,
that's the one thing that came up with the, from the accuser of the brethren. She got that straight from the enemy.
Well, she did. He goes, that's the sin that was the central issue here.
Mm-hmm.
That because Satan said to God, he'll curse you,
yep,
to your face.
Right.
So now he's got to get curse God on everybody's,
exactly,
mind,
exactly,
to make this thing work.
Right.
And man, I mean, she just slammed, yeah, him with it.
Yeah, she's his covenant partner. And he loves her. He loves her flesh, her soul. And the devil is counting on you loving that flesh so much that you wouldn't have done it if the king told you to do it. But if she comes and cries and pulls on you, or your kids come, please, Daddy, please, won't you do it? The devil's counting on you loving that flesh so much,
yeah,
that you will ignore what God told you and override it.
And particularly in the calling that's on your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it's called to ministry or whether it's your calling to be what God's called you to do. He's called you to be a doctor. He's called you into this business or that business. But you're where God's called you to be.
Right.
Stay there.
Yes.
Don't get out of that.
Right.
People change jobs just over $50.
Yeah.
And move away from the finest church,
mm-hmm,
and the church that they should be in, and yet they move away and take the family out of there and everything, over,
yeah,
over 50 measly dollars,
right, mm-hmm,
and get off on that wrong road,
right,
and then all kinds of stuff starts taking place, mm-hmm, that you wouldn't even have to go on through if you just stay put.
Exactly, exactly. But at that point, what's leading you?
Yeah.
You know, the money's leading you. Few dollars an hour is leading you. And if you're willing, you come before the Lord. You say, now, Lord, what about this? You start it with this. I will do whatever you say. And you mean it. You mean it. And if you really do, I'm telling you, you are full on the band.
Well, your heart is fixed,
mm-hmm,
trusting in the,
exactly,
Lord, and your heart is established, and now you're not afraid of evil tidings.
That's right.
112th Psalm.
Doesn't move you.
Father, I pray,
hallelujah,
right now, some of you are in that place where you're dealing with decisions, and you get before God in Jesus' name, and you just lay your heart out before,
mm-hmm,
Him, and you say, sir, I repent for ever being hard-headed and hard-hearted.
Yes.
I repent of this. I'm yours to command.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do, and I'll go. And I lose my life right now.
Yes.
I lose it. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you find it.
Right.
And just do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray that. Lord, maneuver me into my perfect place.
Yes.
Work with me, direct me, give me words, give me your thoughts, your word, and I stand with you,
yes,
on your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to,
yes,
God.
Glory to God.
Brother,
glory,
Keith, and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.